This conference is being recorded.
Yes, this conference, interactive class that we're going to be having today, is called the People of Color Training and Research Institute Interactive Internet Class. In this particular class, we'll be studying last day events in light of current events. Today, in the year 2009, there has been many events that have been transpiring in history. And most people have no idea that we're fulfilling history. Things have just started at a very particular layout of time. And so on our website, when you go up, there'll be one that says last day events in light of current events. And what we're going to start is we're going to start looking at some of the information that we have up there. We have some PowerPoints. We have some charts. We have different things that we would like to look at just so that we can get a clarity on it. Now, since 1978, I've been studying last day events. And in 1988, when we had Reagan in office and the Berlin Wall came down, what we found out was that the president announced to everybody that we were entering into a millennium of peace. He had made mention that since the Berlin Wall had come down, now there's no more fights between the two superpowers, the great Soviet Union and also the United States. The East and West had come together to bring in peace. And so I thought that was very interesting, because when I hear of the millennium, I think about Christ reigning for 1,000 years. So when I heard the President of the United States mentioning of this millennium of peace, or era of peace, or new age of peace, I was just thinking, saying, well, Lord, how does this relate to the millennium that you're referring to, the 1,000-year reign? And why would the President of the United States talk about a 1,000-year reign if you're not here? And so that prompted me to go back and restudy, because we know before the true comes the counterfeit. So that meant to me that there was a counterfeit that would be brought in. And as time went on, as people were able to see the wars that we had, Desert Storm under the first Bush Sr., then in the last few years we've been spending $10 billion a month for the war over in Iraq. And so, and we're seeing America going bankrupt. The question started to be asked, are we fulfilling prophecy? And if we're fulfilling prophecy, how come no one's talking about it? How come it's not clear? Now, most people believe that we are in the last days. So if we are in the last days, then we should expect to find and actually see the events of the Bible transpiring. But since most religions or denominations have had their beginnings in the past, some back with William Miller, some back further with the Baptists, Methodists, Calvin, all of these different movements that had come into existence, all the people that were living at that time were fulfilling prophecy. Just as even when we talk about at the time of Christ, when Paul was around, they believed that they would see the Messiah come back. But we know that didn't happen. And we also know that as time went on, as Protestantism went in, Catholicism went into apostasy, Protestantism was raised up, and they shared what was going on at their time as it fulfilled prophecy. And then other movements started when we started the New World in America. Lots of different movements started in America. And most people that were speaking, and when they looked at events, they related it to the times that they lived in. And as they related to their times, they went back to study and see gems or jewels that were in the Bible. And so most of them put everything of Daniel and Revelation in the past. And they believed that Christ was soon coming. So if he's soon coming, then these events had to have transpired or transpiring around them. And they put all the events transpiring around them or in the past. And so we know that since then, the world has not come to an end. Christ has not come. And so when we're talking about last day events, especially when the Bible refers to last day events, it makes mention a lot in Daniel and in the book of Revelation. It makes mention in the book of Daniel, the end of time, or the time of the end. And the Bible talks about seal the book until the time of the end. That's the book of Daniel. And so I've always wondered, okay, if the time of the end is now that we believe we're in it, we should see it fulfilled. Matter of fact, there is a prophecy in the book of Matthew, Matthew 24, which I call the last generation. Under the last generation prophecy, it's also called the Mount of Olives discourse, we actually find the Messiah sharing different things with his disciples. One of them is, it says, that this generation shall not pass away till all these things be fulfilled. That's in Matthew chapter 24. When he refers to that, he's referring to the verses prior to that that lead up to these events. And that's why he said all these things will be fulfilled. And he was referring to the verses prior to that, verses 4 all the way up to the 30s. And it's interesting because we know that that generation did pass away. That generation being the disciples. And if the disciples, according to the prophecy, believed that they thought that they were going to see Christ come back, then that makes it very interesting. Because everyone believes that Christ would come in their day, which would spur people on to studying more, spur people on to searching more of the scriptures, and trying to see if these things are so, which is exactly what the Bible says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman rightly dividing the word of truth. So let's look at Matthew 24 just for a second. We can get everybody can turn there just to look at that verse, those few verses that mentioned there.
Jimmy Jones.
What it says in Matthew chapter 24, we want to look at verse number 32. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branches is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. This is Matthew chapter 24, verse 32. Now, when it talks about a fig tree, or when it talks about any tree, we know that as we come closer to the summer, right now we're in the middle of the winter, some with winter storms and so forth, and as the spring comes forward and as we head toward the summer, we can see things greening and budding and coming to a point. And so that's what the Bible is letting us know, that it says, learn a parable of the fig tree, when his branches is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So it's able to tell us that it's about to come. Hard times, or the summer time, or the hot day, all of those different things. So in verse 33 it says, so likewise, so he's telling us to make a comparison. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things. And the question should be asking in our mind, what things are we referring to? the things we're referring to is starts at verse 3 of Matthew 24, and it goes all the way up to verse 31. And as he has mentioned there, okay, know that it is nigh, even at the door. And so what we see here actually happening.
I'm living in another house.
Okay, we hear y'all in the background, Bobby. You wanted to mute yourself? Yeah. And so what we find is, so likewise, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. And so it's letting us know that when we start seeing verses 3 through 31 or 3 through 5, 10, 12, all of these different verses starting to be fulfilled, then we know that, hey, this is the dawn of the new events. Then he says, verse 34, verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. So here we have it clearly indicating that whoever he's talking to, he lets them, verily I say unto you, this generation. Now the people he was talking to was the disciples. That generation and shall not pass away till all these things be fulfilled. Now we know Christ didn't come back. We know that all of these verses were not fulfilled. Some were in the beginning as people look at them. And so the disciples thought themselves, they saw the destruction of Jerusalem, that's foretold in there, and so they thought that he was coming, that they wouldn't die. And as we know, they did die all off. And so this verse could not be referring to the generation that was living at the time of the Messiah. So since it can't be a fulfillment of that, then the question is brought back again, what generation is he really talking about? And the generation that he's talking about, I would mention, is the last generation. The generation that will see the events in Matthew 24, starting at verse 3, all the way through 31, that whoever sees all of these things, that generation is when the new age will come in, the 1,000-year or the millennium. So when I heard Ronald Reagan mentioning that in 1988, I said, oh, what did I miss? You telling me I missed all of this stuff? And so I went back to restudy the scriptures to try to get a clarity. Now, as I mentioned earlier, that many people believe that they fulfilled most of these in the past, and so that sparred them on to study and to raise up great movements over the years. And so if we are the last generation that is living, then we need to be able to identify all of these different events that are happening in Daniel and Revelation and be able to see them in light of current events versus, as some would put it, in light of past events. So what we would challenge everyone to do is to go back and to restudy the scriptures. And so since this generation here is the last generation, as I went back through my studies, we're going to look through here and talk about some of my workshops. It says that Professor Emmanuel's series goes through much of the Bible, the Torah, which is the first five books of the Bible, the major and minor prophets, the Gospels and the Epistles. This workshop series correlates national and international headlines with prophetic passages from Scripture. PowerPoints we have available, and you'll be able to see them as we go through this series. Charts and other visual aids enhance the presentation, making this intricate topic easy to understand. And so that's what we are trying to do. We're going to be going through the major prophets, which is Ezekiel, also Daniel will be hitting, and we'll be doing some in Jeremiah. The minor prophets we will be hitting, which is Zephaniah, Zechariah, Haggai, Joel. And the Gospels that we'll be also looking at is the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke. We're not going to be looking a lot into John, just the first three. And then the epistles, we'll be going over points in Thessalonians and in Corinthians. And also with the major prophets will be also Isaiah. So as you can see, we're going to be covering lots of scripture and lots of books in the Bible. And we'll also be covering the book of Revelation. And so what we try to do is make it easy for people to try to understand. So we try to put some in a form which is easy to read. And the first chart that we put together is called the Gospel versus the Book of Revelation. And what we try to do in this particular chart, if you are on that page, you can click on the chart and it'll blow it up. And what we tried to do on this particular chart was to be able to go through, if you look at the chart at the top, it says last day events according to the gospel on the right. And then it shows how we'll be going through Matthew 24, verses 4 through 14, Mark 13, 5 through 13, and Luke 21, verses 8 through 19. These three gospels basically are saying the same thing. And it's still the Mount of Olivet Discourse, which we were reading in Matthew earlier. It's in Matthew 24. And what we're going to do is we're going to compare that with the book of Revelation. Because what we found out is that in the book of Revelation and in the Gospels and in Daniel, they give details of last day events. But all of them do not give chronological order. Some give more details and emphasize specific events. And some go over it blanketly, and some go deep into each of the events. And so what we do next after that is that if you scroll down some, you'll see we'll have last day events according to the book of Revelation. And so we have a little line at the top, which is just supposed to, it's going to deal with the seven seals. And with the seven seals, we're going to correlate the seven seals into the Gospels. And what we'll do is we'll cross-reference, we'll read some places in the Gospels when the Messiah is giving the Mount of Olives discourse, which is the details of the last generation. As he gives those events, then we're going to correlate them with the book of Revelation. So that's why the name of the chart is called the Mount of Olives discourse is compared with the book of Revelation, or the gospel versus the book of Revelation. And so what we see here, if you scroll down from Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you'll see that we have some arrows, and those arrows in Matthew, Mark, and Luke only line up with the first seal. So we're showing how the first seal correlates with verse number 4 in Matthew 24. In Mark 13, it refers to verse number 5, and Luke 21, it correlates with verse number 8. And then the second seal, the third seal, the fourth seal, and the fifth seal. And so what we'll be showing that the first, second, third, fourth, and fifth seal will be in chronological order. And that chronological order maps into Matthew 24, verses 4 through 14, Mark chapter 13, verses 5 through 13, and Luke chapter 21, verses 8 through 19. And then what we find out, as you scroll over, not scroll down, but just scroll over to your right, you will see then we pick up, after the fifth seal, we pick up with the seven trumpets of the book of Revelation. With these seven trumpets, we show how they line up the seven, the first trumpet, as you can see, we have the Matthew 24 starting at verse 15 going through verse 24, and we show how that lines up or correlates with the first trumpet. So when you're reading Matthew 24 verse 15, that'll correlate with the first trumpet. Mark 13 verse 14 correlates with the first trumpet, and Luke 21 verse 20 correlates with the first trumpet. So that's what those arrows are, and they correlate as you come down into the first trumpet. And then the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, all the trumpets sound in chronological order also. And then what we also find is that I show that after the seventh trumpet, then the seven plagues start. The first plague all the way through the seventh plague falls. And I show that that ends with Matthew 24, verse 24, Mark 13, verse 24, and Luke 21, verse 24. And then when we come to, so as you know, that we went through, we only went through the seals, seal number 1 through 5. We didn't do 6 or 7. And then we picked up with the seven trumpets and then the seven plagues. And at the end, you can see that we recorrelate Matthew 24, starting off at verse number 29 through 31, we correlate that with the sixth seal, and as it goes to the end to the seventh seal. And so that's what we discovered the order of events were. So we find out that the seals give detailed information, but they don't give specifically always the correct order. But the Mount of Olivet discourse that the Messiah was sharing with his disciples gives total chronological order. And so that's the reason why we try to compare the Gospels with the book of Revelation, so that people can get a better feel for that. Now, if you back out of that one, and if you come down to the next chart that we have, this one is called Daniel 12 versus the book of Revelation. So what we're trying to do is we're just giving an overview today so that people can have an overview of what's available online. So if anyone wants to go back later and look at the charts in detail or order them, whatever they want to do, that's fine. And so I'm laying out how each of the charts and how the PowerPoints, all of these work together, of how to best use the site that can be productive to you. Now, if you go over to the Daniel 12 versus the book of Revelation and click on that one also, you'll also see similar things. But in this time, instead of us comparing it to the Gospels, the book of Revelation, we're looking very specifically at the book of Daniel. And we're being very specific, not just all of Daniel. We're looking at specifically Daniel chapter 12. And what we find in Daniel chapter 12 is if you look up, it says at the top, it says last day events according to Daniel chapter 12. And in that box is only Daniel chapter 12. Then you'll see another box that'll pick up, and that deals with the seals, the first five seals again. And then it picks up with the trumpets, the seven trumpets. Now, one thing in particular I want you to note, that the way I am able to correlate the book of Daniel, we have the daily is taken away. That's mentioned three times. One in Daniel chapter 8, verse 11 through 14. Another one in Daniel chapter 11, verse 31, and then in third place is Daniel chapter 12, verse 11. And I'm correlating the the daily is taken away. Now, most people think the daily is the daily sacrifice, because the word sacrifice in the King James is in italics. But anything that's in the King James that's italics is an added word. So it was not in the original word. So I didn't put in when the daily sacrifice is taken away. I just put in when the daily is taken away. And I correlated that with the beginning of sorrows, which is found in Matthew chapter 24, starting at verse 8 through 14, as we looked at the other chart. And that also begins the time of what is called the persecution begins under the fifth seal. Now, my understanding is that the beginning of sorrows, it would be a time of persecution. So that's when it'll be time for when the believers will be not happy of the events that are going on. But the beginning of sorrow, I also have the persecution. If you look a little closer, you will see that the persecution begins with the fifth seal, begins before the arrows for the beginning of sorrow and the daily is taken away. And we also show here how the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is in the gray, also begins prior to the trumpets. We'll go into detail as we go through some of the PowerPoints, because we go verse by verse, section by section. I'm just trying to give you an overview of the chart so that you can know how to read them. And my understanding is under the fifth seal, it says, if you look, souls under the altar were slain for the word of Yahweh and their testimony. Then it says, after that, they cried, "How long, O Yahweh, before you judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" All this is found in the book of Revelation. If you scroll down, I think, three more blocks, it says Revelation chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. These are the verses that I was just reading to you. O Yahweh, they cried, "How long, O Yahweh, before you judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" So we see that these people who are the souls of those that are under the altar, they cry out and ask, how long before they are avenged? And these are people that lived in the Dark Ages, people that was persecuted a long time ago. Then if you look down a little further, or if you're looking at the verse in particular, in the book of Revelation, it says, they are told to rest a little season or a little time until their fellow servants, that's us, are slain like they were slain. And that's interesting, because this is the last persecution that will be arising. And so that's what I understood is the fifth seal. So it couldn't have been something that happened in the past, but this would be the last one under the mark of the beast and under the persecution that will reign in these last days. And then it says, white robes are giving to them. So all the ones that were slain in the past that asked the question. And so if you come down after the one that says Revelation chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, I also make a comment. I saw, or it says, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of Yahweh and for the testimonies which they held. All these are the beginning of sorrow, because it's persecution, that's how I saw it. Then they shall deliver you up, that's what it says in Matthew 24, Luke 21, they shall deliver you up to what? As the Bible has said, tribulation, or to be slain, and kill you. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. That's what the Messiah is saying in the Gospels there. And then many will be offended and will betray one another and will hate one another. So here we see the gospel saying the same thing or similar things that is under the fifth seal. and then after the fifth seal, as it correlates with Matthew, and that's why I have this study linked into Matthew to a certain degree. And then it says the persecution begins, and also the feast of unleavened bread begins. My understanding, the Bible teaches that leaven in the Bible represents sin. And so unleavened bread would represent the perfecting of the saints. And the Bible lets us know that for us to be purified, we have to go through the fire. And so the fire, as the Bible teaches, is trials and tribulation. And so this is what's going to perfect the 144,000, as I've been able to see it. And as you scroll over, going back to the top again, after the daily, and we have the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which says that there's a 1260-day prophecy there. The Bible, and I show that that ends on the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, 1260 days is what we consider 3.5 years, or times and times and dividing of time, also found in the book of Revelation, 42 months. Now, if we count, if a person counts and thinks about it, if the Feast of Unleavened Bread begins on the first month, on the 15th day, and goes to the 21st day, if you count 3 years, or if you count, you'll come back to the 15th day of the first month. And then if you add 6 months on to that, then you will come up with the 7th month and the 15th day. Now the key was, is there any events in the Bible that the Bible talks about the 7th month and the 15th day? And lo and behold, as you scroll over, you will find near the top, it says the Feast of Tabernacle begins on the 7th month, on the 15th day, and lasts through the 21st day. So this is very, very interesting that the 1260-day prophecy is also laid out in God's prophetic timetable. We have a videotape that just goes over God's prophetic timetable, which goes into a lot more detail than what I can describe up here in our short time frame. And if you look there again, you'll see that the Feast of Tabernacle occurs. And then at the top, I also show that there's, and if you look below that, you have your 1335 and your 1290. And as you can see, your 1290, if it begins again at the same time of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which would be the first month and the 15th day of the first month, and if you go 360 days, as we mentioned, you would wind up with the Feast of Tabernacles, the 7th day, the 7th month on the 15th day. And what we find out in the Bible, it makes mention, now this, we're talking about a 30-day period or 1 month difference between the Feast of Tabernacles ending and the abomination of desolation the Bible talks about, 1290 days. And what I found, which was most interesting, that on that particular day, that there was a false Feast of Tabernacles set up in the Bible under 1 Kings chapter 12, verses 26 through 33. And it tells us that it was the feast that was set up by the golden calf, or set up by one of the kings, and Rehoboam was his name. And it's exactly 1290 days from the Feast of Unleavened Bread beginning. It began and it was on the 15th day. So right there, when I saw all of that, I said, oh wow, this is all the prophecy that the Creator is trying to share with his people in the last days to prepare us for these events that are about to transpire. And so that's where I show that then after that is 45 more days to bring you to the 1335, which is the blessed day, the Bible calls it. That's in Daniel chapter 12, verse number 12. I link that in with the seal or the sign of the Messiah's coming. And as if you scroll down, you'll see the blessed day. If you go straight down, you'll see I put that, line that up with the sixth seal. Is when the moon, when the sun is darkened, and the second box is that sun becomes as black as sackcloth of hair. And the second event underneath that is the moon becomes as blood, and the stars of heaven fall to the earth, like a fig tree casts her untimely figs, when it is shaken in the mighty wind. And that's in Revelation chapter 6, verses 12 through 17, you can read. Okay, so we have a little clarity on how we try to link in Daniel chapter 12, or the book of Daniel and the feast days, a certain portion of the feast days, or the sanctuary services, into the book of Revelation. Now, if we come down, if we back out of that and come down to the next chart is called the sanctuary versus the book of Revelation. Now, on this particular one, as we just talked a little bit about the blowing of trumpets, I mean, we didn't talk about the blowing of trumpets, but the blowing of trumpets fit in there. The Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Booths, and all of these. And so when I do the sanctuary services versus the Book of Revelation, what I do in this particular chart and in this particular study is that I go through the feast days and show how the fall, the spring feasts were fulfilled at Christ's first coming with the Passover of him as the Passover lamb, his resurrection, and all of those different events as the wave sheaf, and then as we march forward of what Pentecost represented, and then we talk about if those were fulfillment of the Messiah's first coming, then what would be the fulfillment of his second coming? And so I believe that the Bible shares with us and shows us a timetable that Yahweh has given to his people, which lays out the fall feast as that particular time frame. That, and that's what I was trying to share in my Daniel 12 of how that links in. So we'll share that one next week because that's a pretty detailed one. We wouldn't have enough time to go enough through it. So that's how you can start using the website. And as you scroll down, we talk here is the number one superpower in prophecy America. People can read through that just to understand. Let us look at America being economically bankrupt where we find ourselves today. That's our next section in there. And then we show some different pricing of the housing market of how it went boom. And we talk about investing in America. And then we talk a little bit about the Fed no longer dismiss talk of the housing bubble. Yeah, of course, because it's gone now. Regulators. And so this was written before the crash occurred, a lot of disinformation, and we all know what happened. And then we have here the seven trumpets of the Apocrypha. These are some of the charts that I use inside of my presentation. Then we talk about who or what is the, Babylon the Great, who is really in control of this situation. Is it the beast or is it the woman? These are the type of questions we ask. And then we ask, what is truth? Seems like that's a major question that should be being asked today. And then when you come down to the very bottom, it talks about some of the workshops. And some of them we looked at that we'll be going through is the last generation, which is Matthew 24, which we just took a glimpse at so far. We didn't go into any great detail, but we will when we go through this PowerPoint. And it has also last day events in chronological order. Will also be, people can look at, anybody can look at any of these that are underlined and highlighted anytime they want to. And also the scroll that's sealed with the seven seals, a historical view of Revelation, the seven seals of Revelation, the seven trumpets of Revelation. Each one of these are studies by themselves because they're so in-depth. The seven plagues of the Apocrypha, God's prophetic timetable revealed through the sanctuary services. The Battle of Armageddon, 70 weeks of Daniel. We have, I think, three or four different scenarios of how people look at the 70 weeks of Daniel. And we give comments on them, and we also give you our viewpoint. And then we have our last one that the person can look at is the second coming and the rapture. Are they the same? Because so many people believe in the rapture, so we wanted to share what the scriptures actually do say about the Battle of Armageddon and also the rapture. At this point, we can entertain questions for the next 10 minutes, and then our interactive class will be over. Is there anyone with any questions at this point? I don't hear anyone. I don't know if anyone is muted and they wanted to unmute themselves. This would be a good time to do that. But if there's no questions, we'll stop the recording. But the recording should have stopped, and anyone will be able to share with their friends to be able to go up on the website or be able to call into the conference and be able to get back records of this first presentation of interactive class, internet class that we have on last day events and the new and in light of current events. Well, thank everybody for coming. I appreciate your time and your energy. And we pray that you've been able to see things in a new light. We'll have a word of prayer to close out. Oh, gracious Father, we ask for wisdom, guidance, and understanding as we move through this day, as we move through your day that you have created. We ask that we might be able to understand your will as we move forward and as we move through these last events in Earth's history. Give us wisdom and guidance that we might not be able to miss the events that you have laid out in your prophetic timetable. Help us and strengthen us. Forgive us of our sins. Help us to grow closer to thee. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Thank you, and thanks for showing up. Bye-bye.